How are you?
It's been a while, but we're officially back with Pitch Pass, starting now.
Philadelphia, San Jose, Earth, DC, United, Los Angeles, Galaxy.
Pitch Pass.
Colorado Rapids. Vancouver Whitecaps. Orlando City SC. Montreal Impact. NYCFC. Seattle Sounders.
Pitch Pass, your all-access credential to the people that matter in MLS. Here's your host, Greg Roach.
Oh, it is great to officially be back doing the Pitch Pass podcast. We've uploaded a couple episodes in the last week or so. These were episodes that we recorded for something else that were DC United related. So if you have not heard about Pitch Pass in a while, go back and check those out. Russell Knauss was on the show. Nick DeLeon was our latest episode. We had Chris Pontius and Bobby Boswell talking about RFK. We're talking about Audi Field stuff. It's been a lot, but now we're officially back inside Pitch Pass. We've got a great episode lined up. Later on, ESPN Sebastian Salazar will join me. We'll talk about DC United's playoff chances. Yes, playoff chances. And maybe we'll have him eat a little crow about Wayne Rooney. Maybe. But first, let's bring in the youngest member of DC United's first team, a man with a big future in front of him, but also doing some work right now in the present. Chris Durkin joins us right now. Chris, thanks for coming and hanging with us. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. So my name is Roach. It's very nice to talk to you for the first time. My first question, and I got to start here, Chris, and I'm sorry. What the hell happened to your nose, man?
It's all for the look.
You just wanted to look like a tough guy?
Yeah, Halloween's coming. I got kicked in the face in practice. And fractured my nasal bone and got a couple stitches. And, didn't feel great, but I have to wear a mask just to protect it. But it isn't too impairing for the for vision, so it's been okay.
I appreciate you kind of taking everybody's back, but I am a journalist. At least that's what I tell myself. And so I'm going to ask the hard-hitting questions. Who kicked you in the face, Chris Durkin?
It was Jalen Robinson. It wasn't. He came right up to me, and said sorry and all that stuff. It was. I completely understood. It's all in the game, As being a professional soccer player, you're gonna get plenty of injuries. I've gotten 12 staples in my head, a whole bunch of stuff from soccer collisions and all that. He was pretty cool after, and it's just part of the game.
I don't like to get into politics here on the show, but I am sick and tired of this homegrown violence, and I gotta say, it's gotta stop.
Yeah, it's not too bad, I don't think. It's just, we're all trying to get on the field, and I think the competitiveness is good, and competition and practice, so I think it's okay.
Would you be would you wear the mask with such pride if you were, say, a winger? Like, I feel like as a D-mid, you're like, yeah, look, I'm taking kicks to the face. You're not getting by me. I'm a D-mid. I've got the mask.
Yeah, I think it's the inherent nature of a defensive midfielder to not really care what everybody thinks.
Yep.
Just be that workhorse and just grind. I don't care about my looks. Just cracking some people and getting into some tackles.
Yep. Russell's got one from the goal he scored. You know what? Somebody's got to go punch Junior Moreno in the face, too. Get him up to speed with the D-mids.
Yeah, he'll be fine with him, sure.
He's a good-looking man, though. I don't know if I want to scar that face. I wanted to ask you, Chris, before we get into DC United stuff, the U-20 roster just came out for the U-20 World Cup. You were not on it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's because you have other business to attend to with your main hustle, which is playing for DC United. But I did want to ask you, how much input or were you asked, hey, what is your interest in doing this? Were you the one that said, I kind of want to focus on United? Or were these decisions being made by Ben and Tab and you just were kind of along for the ride?
Yeah, it was a collective effort from everybody. Ben, Dave Casper, and Tab Ramos were all involved in the discussion process of it. And, I'm a contracted player for DC United, and these past run of games have been extremely important, obviously, in getting into the playoffs. And, I played a pretty important role in those two games against FC Dallas and Toronto in getting those important wins. And, you know, Ben continues to see me as having an important role throughout the rest of the season. And that means playoffs as well, because obviously we've clinched the playoffs. So, you know, as I said, I'm a player with DC United, and I think that's my number one responsibility right away. And, you know, obviously 100% I want to be down there representing my country and being with my, you know, guys that I've known for so long through the residential program, U17, for that World Cup. And then, you know, obviously I want to help in qualifying for the U20s. And, you know, I know that they have a stage two of that. And, I never know what could happen with that. So, I'm happy where I am right now with DC United. It's a very exciting time getting through with the playoffs and all that. So, yeah.
I was at the TFC match, and afterwards you and Ayo did the jersey swap, which I thought was kind of cool. Is it still kind of weird that guys that you grew up with and now both of you are meeting together on the field as professional soccer players in MLS?
Yeah, it's a little weird, but you know, it's exactly what I wanted and what I pictured happening. And you know, all the, you know, the guys with a lot of quality that I've trained and played with for the U17 program, you know, James Sands, Andrew Carlson,
yep.
Ayo Akinola, all those guys in the MLS, I've met up with them and, you know, swapped jerseys. And that's a really special moment for me, you know, because it's sure that we've continued to progress, continue to stay on that grind. And then at the end of the day, it's cool to have a collection of shirts, you know, and say, hey, I play with that guy and play with that guy. I think it's a really cool thing in soccer, just having those memories to hold on to.
And I knew that when you guys did the jersey swap, you're definitely keeping the jerseys. I always wonder, though, because as soon as the match ends, there's always somebody on the other team who sprints over to Wayne to get the jersey, and Wayne tucks the other guy's jersey into his shorts as he walks off. And I'm thinking to myself, how many jerseys does Wayne Rooney have at this point?
Yeah, he's definitely got a lot. And, you know, like you said, it's not a mutual kind of thing. People are splitting right over to Wayne. Wayne's not splitting over everybody. So I'm not sure if he holds on to it, but I think he does hold on to those guitars, though.
Well, see, so you don't have one yet, correct?
No, I don't have one.
Okay, is that's on your to-do list, right? Help U.S. Okay. Get back to the World Cup. Help United make an MLS, get an MLS Cup. Secure a big money move to Europe. Get one of those sweet custom-made guitars for yourself.
Yeah, that's
enough. you know, and you mentioned Wayne does keep the guitars. So have you ever gone to him and go, hey, man, you got a couple of these now. I would like one of them. Do you mind if I have one?
You know, I think, you know, those guitars have to be deserved, and I'll wait for my shot, wait for that game where, you know, I deserve it, and I think it'll feel that much better to have it.
Well, fair enough. And, you know, speaking of making your way back on the field, you were a mainstay at the beginning of the season, then kind of took a step back towards the middle of the season, but we're coming off a run where, like you said, Toronto, Dallas, you were getting a run. You know, and we're speculating now. I'm assuming that you're going to get a really healthy run against Chicago. What's been your attitude this season as you've gone from definite starter to sitting out for 6 weeks or so to then coming back in and being expected to keep the momentum that you had going after a break?
Yeah, it's been difficult, but it's been extremely important, you know, just in my developmental process. And, you know, I've kept in close contact and in close communication with Ben Olsen just about remaining even keeled and, you know, not getting too high when I was, you know, starting and not getting too low when I wasn't. And it's been super helpful. The staff and the players have been super helpful. And, you know, I think going into the season, I wasn't expecting the minutes that I've gotten. And, you know, I worked hard through those. And, you know, I thought I proved myself throughout all the games that I've played in. And it's just been an amazing learning experience this season, dealing with both sides of it, being on and off the field. And I think it's just, you know, a super, super important season for me. And it'll be pivotal for my career. Just an understanding the mentality that there needs to be.
Being a young guy, this MLS grind, I would imagine would have taken a toll. And then you factor in that when you got your extended run was during United's extended run on the road. Is there any part of you that goes, hey, you know what? It's kind of pretty good that I took a step back because I was a little bit gassed as we got into June.
Yeah, I think, you know, Ben, that was the initial, you know, thing was just, you know, resting me a little bit. And, you know, obviously the form started to take over through Russell and Junior. And credit to them, they've done extremely well. And, you know, we're a competitive three, you know, me, Junior, and Russ. And, you know, there's it's really, really great competition. I've learned so much from them. But, you know, the travel and stuff, and, you know, it felt like I was on the West Coast every other week.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun. Actually, you know, it was a little fun, you know, traveling as a professional. It's always fun, you know, being in L.A. and Seattle. Those are all fun and cool cities. But, you know, you can feel it get to you a little bit. But, you know, I always try to remain positive. You know, the young guys complain about anything, and normally doesn't fly over well. So I always stay positive, and you know, support my teammates whatever way I can.
I'm going to say something that could be ridiculous, and you could go, "Hey, Roach, you know what? I don't even know what game you're watching." But I'm going to throw it out there as a way to ask you the question. It seems like, it felt like to me, watching you against TFC and FC Dallas, you had a little more bite to your game. I don't want to say a nasty streak, but just you were a little more willing to get stuck in than you were in the first half of the season. The question is, when you were taking that time and kind of Junior and Russ were doing their thing, did you go, okay, look, let's look back on what I did and let's see what I can improve on, and let's, when I get that shot to get back in, I can now improve on this, this, and this?
Yeah, 100%. You know, that was a thing that I really wanted to, you know, improve in my game and continue to improve on, is just the mentality side of it and the aggressiveness, that bite to, you know, tackle players, get into them. I think those are things that Russ and Junior do extremely well, is just you know, they break up the midfield so well and then distribute out very well. And, you know, learning watching those games and learning from them has been great. And, you know, how do I apply that to my game? So that's been you know, a very important part. And like I said, just developing and learning. And, yeah, I tried to apply that to those games in FC Dallas and Toronto. And I think, you know, I was able to step out a little higher, be a little more aggressive with my pressure. And I thought I did well over those two games. And, you know, got to keep it going and continue to work on things that, you know, I still need to improve on in my game.
Well, it definitely showed, because a neophyte like myself was able to pick it out. So good job incorporating that in.
Thank you.
So as we start getting ready for playoffs and we look forward to United at least having one playoff coming up, what are your thoughts and what's been the coach's message to you guys this week? We're going to talk to Sebastian Salazar of ESPN in the next segment. And, you know, one of the questions is, what kind of team does United roll out for Sunday? Obviously, that has nothing to do with you, and you just take your orders from coach. But what is the team mentality as far as we're playing to win for Chicago, but we also know we've got a couple of things, a couple of days after that, that we've got to take care of as well?
Yeah. You know, it's a difficult, you know, thing to tackle, because, you know, you want to play in a home game. The percentages of continuing to go on are much higher with home field advantage. But you also could be playing only 2 to 3 days later. So that's a difficult thing to, you know, tackle. And I think Ben Olsen and all the assistant coaches are continually going over situations and scenarios. But, you know, the mentality of DC United is to go out and to compete and to win every game. And we're going to put, you know, I think the team that we think can win that game and then get that home field advantage, because I think that's extremely important. And, you know, the DC United team believes in our coaches, believes in our staff, and who they're going to put out, and get the result and continue to keep the momentum going into the playoffs and then have a great run in the playoffs.
And I'm not blowing smoke here, Chris, but in my mind, I truly believe that United has three starters for that, for those two D mid roles. And I think the thing that you bring to the table, and you know this, is your passing vision. When did you realize that that was a tool that you had in your toolbox that kind of separated you from not just kids and players your own age, but professional defensive midfielders that you've watched?
Yeah, it's always been a thing that I've worked on. You know, my long ball distribution, my making sure that you know, I'm playing forward, are all important things. And you know, seeing the game well, seeing players' movement, and how I can best provide that ball to them where they can deal with it the easiest, are all things that I know I've continued to try and improve on, understand more through coaches, through video. And, you know, I just, it's one of my more fun parts of the game that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you hit that nice ping across the field or into the person's feet, it feels good. And, you know, it feels like you're helping the team out and starting something that could eventually lead into a goal. And I've always enjoyed it. I've always worked on it after practice, in practice, whatever. And it's always been one of my things that I really appreciate about the game.
How much did you want that assist on Yamil's offside play?
Well, I think the ball was good, but the finish was freaking crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because that would have been repeated over and over again, and the start of that clip, the start of the GIF, would have been Durkin's ball in.
Yeah. It would have been nice. It would have been great. I think all the stuff with accolades would have gone to Yamil's goal, and that would have been a crazy shot pull off.
It was fantastic. If only it counted. I will ask you a question as a father of a 10-year-old who loves playing soccer. I feel like the focus a lot is on interplay and short passes and 1-2s. You mentioned that you take a lot of pride in your long passing abilities and that you've worked on it. At what age did you go, hey, you know what? I do like doing this. And what were some of the things that you were doing at that age to then improve on the skill that you knew you had?
Yeah, I've probably been working on, you know, the technique of long balls since I was probably around maybe 8 years old.
Wow.
I had a really, really great coach, and my coach's technique was really perfect in the way he struck a ball and the backspin it got on it, and he really tried to make me understand that technique. And it's not a technique that, you know, you understand and then you're set for life. You have to continue to perfect it, continue to work on it day after day. After practices, I'm normally hitting, 20 long balls, maybe two or three times a week, just to continue to stay confident in my technique and in my passing range, so that when it's in the game and that's where it's most important and it's the hardest because of the speed of play, being confident in that technique and being able to hit that ball.
And it's got to be great having Wayne on the team for a number of reasons, obviously. But for someone like you, who likes to hit those long balls and ping the ball around, he also is enjoys it, and it's also something he's very good at. I don't know if anybody knew that. I'm breaking news here.
Yeah.
What have you gleaned from watching him ping those long balls around, even in practice, that you've been able to go, oh, you know what? That's something that I haven't tried to do. I'm going to start working on that as well.
Yeah, I think just the way he hits the ball in terms of the speed and, he doesn't get a lot of loft on it.
Yeah.
They're like an arrow through the air.
With a lot of backspin on it, too.
Yeah, definitely. The precision in which he hits it is incredible. And I don't think many people realize how good he is at those long balls and the accuracy he has. It's been great to learn. I've hit some long balls with him after practice a couple of times, and you know, catch myself smiling here and there, hitting some long balls with Wayne Rooney. That was a dream of mine at 8 years old. So it's been awesome.
I got to ask the tough questions here, Chris. How did you let Andrew get away?
How did I let what?
Your brother. How did you let him get to Atlanta United?
I think Andrew is in a good situation. I think DC United is awesome. Their academy is awesome going through that as well. But I think Atlanta United is also a great club to be at. And for him, I think he's happy. He's in a nice school down there, and he's enjoying the level. So.
All right, well, listen, I appreciate the PC answer, but just know I'll be cursing you under my breath when I see Andrew running roughshod in MLS in a few years. I'm going to blame you and only you, Chris, all right?
All right, fair enough.
Your one job was to get your little brother to follow in your footsteps, and you couldn't handle it. But on a similar subject, let's talk about the USL system and as homegrowns make their way up from the academy to USL, to then hopefully the first team. You did time in Richmond. What kind of a game changer or what kind of differences or what will Loudoun United bring to the table that maybe you couldn't get at Richmond?
Yeah, I think it'll be great because it's going to connect that that final piece in the puzzle to getting younger players from the academy level to the first team. Because a jump right into the DC United first team is difficult. It's a high speed. You know, their men, the physicality is great, and everything is very fast. And when you get into the USL, it's still very physical. It's still a good speed, and getting the transition, being able to put younger players in those tough environments at a younger age only sets them up better for jumping into DC United when they're called on. So I think that really links that missing piece, and I think Richmond did a great job with that. You know, I was down in Richmond, obviously, for a good period of time, and I think that really helped set me up for a great U-17 World Cup. And, the speed of play and everything was awesome. But the thing with Loudoun now is that we're going to have actual DC United coaches out there,
yeah.
DC United, more of a DC United maintenance on the entire situation. And I think that'll be even better. And I really think what Richmond did was great, but I think this will add just another additional piece to the puzzle for DC United.
I think since I've got you, I'd be remiss not to ask you about a guy that's on a lot of United fans' radar, and that is Moses Naiman. He's just a few years younger than you. Have you had a chance to play with him, to see him in action? And if you have, what are your thoughts on him and his skills?
Yeah, I think I've only played with him a couple times. He's obviously, I think, like 15 years old, 14 or 15, very young kid.
Yeah, but you're only 18, Chris. I don't know if you remember that.
Well, he's younger than me.
We'll go with that. So go ahead.
So he's pretty young. I think he's got a lot of special attributes. You know, he seems very smooth on the ball, very comfortable on the ball with at his feet. And I think he's definitely a promising talent for DC United, and I think it's very exciting. And I also think that there's another player, Griffin Yao, who's with the U-17 men's national team as well, who's just scored a couple goals with the men's USA team. I think it was the 17th over against England, against some good teams. So I think DC United is excited about who's up and coming, and I think it's great for the academy. I think it shows that DC United is able to produce quality players, and I think it's great.
Yeah, and that's the exciting thing, and I would imagine for you as well. You're a bit of a trailblazer in that regard, but now that Loudoun is going to be up and running starting next year, guys like Griffin, guys like Moses can actually start dreaming on a contract and not have to think to themselves, well, if they sign me to a deal, they have to play me on the first team, which is then going to make them a little hesitant to sign me on the deal. I can sign and play for Loudoun United immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's start to wind down. I need to know your favorite Fortnite dance, Chris.
Probably the Orange Justice. Pretty good one.
Okay. Your thoughts on season 6, I believe we're in?
It's great. I was just playing it right before I called you.
In fact, it may still just be up there, and your last elimination might still be on the screen, and you're waiting just to hit start again as soon as we hang up.
Yeah, you know me too well.
And finally, I know you have a lady friend. You've posted some Insta stories about her. Is she all right with your broken nose? And if she's going to, like, you know, homecoming dances at college, are you, like, maybe going to be put to the side as far as date is concerned?
Yeah, I think it's okay. You know, my scar healed up fine. I think she's okay with it.
All right, because, you know, pictures, they're forever, Chris. And if I'm her, I'm doubting whether we can Photoshop the mangled nose out of the shot.
Yeah, I think with some little bit of tweaking in Photoshop, the angles will be all right and we'll be good.
Sounds good, Chris. Best of luck for the last game of the season. And let's hope for a long MLS Cup playoff run. I know you are. I am as well. And let's just make it happen, all right?
All right. Thanks a lot for having me. It was great talking to you.
Think about how old he is. 18 years old. And think about the maturity in all of those answers. I was trying to be a knucklehead. And the 18-year-old was telling me, you know what, let's make this a little more serious, this conversation. It's just a really, really impressive young man, Chris Durkin. And equally impressive, but not as young man, is our friend Sebastian Salazar of ESPN. He joins us right now. Sebi, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad to be back in D.C. for a little bit for once. So good timing to take advantage of this opportunity when I'm in town to get with you.
It's if you follow Sebi, you see he's been doing a lot of time up in Bristol, and I feel like maybe Stephen A. has rubbed off on you because you are definitely hot take Sebi as of 2018.
Hot take Sebi. I know something did happen weird there in the year of 2018. I don't know, man. You bottle up opinions so long, and then at some point you just got to have takes, and then takes blow up in your face, and you learn to have the less hot takes. Next time, I don't know. I don't know what the lesson in all of it is, but it's you know, it's fun. I think I always have kind of complained that there's not enough, like, fun, you know, and personality, and people actually having opinions and saying things in American soccer journalism specifically. And I grew up, you know, watching, like, the Mexican side of things, which is all, like, screaming and shouting and very dramatic and great fights on television and what drives a lot of the interest in the sport in Mexico. So sometimes you have to stop complaining about a problem and become part of it.
Well, you know, it's funny because... And I'm busting them a little bit for you because you were always very measured, you know, when you worked with United and then when you moved on to Comcast Sportsnet. And then even when you first started ESPN, but you've kind of moved the chips in on kind of at least stating your opinion. Because, you know, at the end of the day, and I liked your point, this isn't life or death. You're making some statements. Some of them are going to hit. Some of them are going to miss. It's just funny that the coin flipped so quickly, and everybody was like, wait, why is Sebi Mr. Hot Takes guy all of a sudden?
You know what is interesting is it is not life and death, right? Like, I'm not a brain surgeon, so if I get it wrong, like, nobody dies. So that's very, very rewarding, and it gives you a little bit more space. But I think, you know, at every other stop that I've worked, I've known way more than I could say, and I've always had to kind of
yes.
be quiet and not say things because I was either working for the team or for a broadcast partner of the team. And then I think when you get to a place like ESPN, even though we're, like, let's be honest, we're broadcast partners of the league and all that stuff, you're just a little bit more removed, and it allows you to kind of, you know, say what you want a little bit more. Tough part for me is then, like, you know, I do both. So I'm in the studio, and I can hot take in the studio, but then I got to go do sideline interviews with these guys, too. So, you know, sometimes when you say something in studio, you say it with the confidence that you're not a guy in front of you. But when you have to do what I do, which is then go out and interview these guys, you always got to have that in the back of your mind. Like, I hope they don't watch ESPN.
Well, and here's a dirty little secret. Everybody's got a hot take, and I'm not even talking about people in media. You know, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you've had a hot take. It's just no one was around you to actually call you out on it. But you have a hot take.
Definitely. I mean, that's the point, right? I mean, that's anything we've learned from the social media age is everybody's got an opinion, and now they're all magnified. And sometimes your opinions are wrong. Well, if they're part of the show and you can have some fun with them, especially when they don't go your way, then I think, you know, it's all it's also fun.
Now, if you don't know why we're talking about Hot Take Sebi here, Sebi had a hot take back in June when DC United signed Wayne Rooney. You can actually go back because he was not shy about giving us his hot takes when he was on this actual show, which we've posted. You can check that out. Since then, his good buddy, Herc Gomez, has been really, really holding him to this hot take. And if you want to hear more about Sebi eating crow, because that's not what this podcast is about, he ate a lot of crow on the Max and Herc podcast. You can track that down. How was that for you? I'm sure it was fun, but also a little bit painful.
Look, I mean, here's the thing. I have come very, very accustomed to getting the good-natured ribbing of the aforementioned Hercules Gomez. Like, I think he must spend 50% of his time just CCing me on every positive tweet that anybody has ever put out in the last 3 months on Wayne Rooney. So, look, it's not just those guys. You got to understand, at some point it feels like the whole world is trolling me on this. I go into the ESPN FC studios, I got Craig Burley and Stevie Nichol just, you know, getting after me. I got Dan Thomas. He leaves on vacation. He leaves a tweet to everybody. Hey, Sebi's in for the next 2 weeks. Don't forget to remind him about Wayne Rooney. And then I get a call the other day. This is supposed to be my off week this week, and it's from a SportsCenter producer. And he's like, hey, I don't know if you know this yet, but we want to do a feature on what's happening down at DC United with Wayne Rooney, and you're on it. And I was like,
here we go.
I was like, who is this? Did Herc give you my number? Like, what's going on? So it's amazing how this thing has caught steam. It's amazing the transformation that, you know, we've seen on the field with the team. It is really, it's a great story. I mean, I can frame it this way best. I think it's a rare day when soccer gets on SportsCenter,
yes,
draws the interest of SportsCenter. It's a rarer day yet when Major League Soccer is the thing that's drawing the interest of SportsCenter. It's a never day that it's DC United that's drawing the interest of SportsCenter for a multi-minute kind of like long story feature. Come on. I mean, that's, I think that tells you all you need to know about the one metric of this that has been overwhelmingly positive for the club, and that's the best way to say it is just the penetration of the market. Like, in some ways, this move has taken DC United to a stratosphere of relevance that the club has never enjoyed.
I love it. Before we do that, though, you know what? I would tell Nichol and Burley to shut their mouths. Their take was exactly the same as yours. Yours was just a little hotter than theirs, but they had the exact same take.
I think the reality is that when you think about it, right, nobody really knew what to expect from Rooney,
yes,
coming over. I think for so many reasons. One, it's the profile that he had, right? Aging superstar, has had kind of been, you know, removed from United into Everton, the lesser role. Is he on the come down? No longer a part of the national team plans in England. Through his own choice, you know, he didn't really, you know, he was called in and said, nah, I think I'm done at 31 years old, which, yeah, is, you know, not something that a lot of guys do. So, you know, there were some reasons to be kind of curious, like what was he doing. On top of that, I think his reason to be curious was that DC United wasn't very good. This is a team that we saw be worst of the worst of the worst last year and not look much better this year. Although what we've seen this year so far came with the asterisk of, well, they played all their games effectively on the road. So, you know, I think nobody really knew what Wayne was going to bring, and nobody really knew what the situation he was going to land into was going to be like. So it was impossible to in any way forecast that he would do this. I think it was pretty obvious that he would be a good player for DC United. But I think to see, A, just the production that he's had, and I think more impressive and less expected is this kind of like weird snake charm effect that he's had on everybody else.
Yep.
DC United is not winning because of Wayne Rooney. DC United is actually winning because of Wayne Rooney's impact on everybody else. And that is something that I don't think anybody really accounted for, how this guy could bring some lightning in a bottle with him, and for whatever reason with this group, it was just the right spark at just the right time. I mean, there's some level of genius there, and I think, frankly, there's some level of just kind of luck, right? The right things came together at the right time. And what's happening now is both really fun and really historic. I mean, if you talk about MLS winning streaks, late season pushes, what DC United has accomplished in the last month is unprecedented.
It's fantastic, and I'm here. Like, I literally do a Google search for Wayne Rooney every single day to read the articles, especially over in the UK. My favorite Twitter bits are, as we mentioned, Herc CCing you on every single Wayne Rooney accomplishment. That's part one. Part two is our man Pablo Maurer CCing Matt Doyle on every single thing that Lucho Acosta does. And retweeting Matt Doyle's Lucho Acosta as a bottom 10, number 10 in this league. That those are my two favorite things on Twitter right now.
It is crow eating season, I guess. Look, the Lucho thing is really remarkable. You know, I was lucky enough. I sat down and talked to him today over at the stadium, and he's like such a shy, humble, like, you know, curious kid. I mean, such a kid. And then you see him on the field, and he's this superhero. I think it's so fun for me to watch this because you've been watching DC United for a while. I have, but outside of the DC United hardcore, there's not a lot of people that have been watching this team for the last 2 years. They just haven't been that relevant. Even in MLS circles, they've been irrelevant. So I just think people around the league, now that they're paying attention, people who don't pay attention to MLS or DC United at all, but are watching because of Rooney, are seeing Lucho, and they're actually like, dude, who is that kid? What is that about?
Exactly.
That thing is jumping off the screen at me. And then I think you can even throw into that, there's probably some people who are coming, and I think there's another discussion to be had about like the people that are actually coming to the stadium. But I think when you invite new people into the stadium, it helps when there's not just the guy that you're there supposed to watch. Oh my God, there's another superstar on this team. We didn't know he was a superstar. We don't call him a superstar. We don't treat him like a superstar. We don't pay him like a superstar yet. But there's another guy here who, when I watch, excites me. And like when I talk to kids and I hear like kids talking around, and like, you know, maybe the kids that I'm around are a little bit more soccer nerdy than your average kid. But, you know, they know Lucho, and they're like, Lucho's balling. And that's exciting for me because, as great as it is to have Wayne Rooney, he's always going to be, I think, somebody else's star. I think Lucho could become one of our stars.
Agreed.
And I think that's something unique. You know, like that's we're going, now we're talking about DeMarco, Jaime, Raul Diaz Arce, Ben Olsen. You know, we're talking about John Hart. So we're talking about that category. We can add to the history of the club. To me, Lucho is a really exciting prospect because of that.
You know, and he's really great for the kids because he's my son's favorite player. That's whose jersey he has. But, because he's small. And so they look at him and they go, look how little he is. I'm little. I can do this.
Totally. One of my very, very best friends, the kid I have season tickets with, he's got three kids. And the oldest is six turning seven. And he is tiny. He's playing like, you know, with the U8s. And he's a tiny kid. So he's getting kind of bullied a little bit. Not bullied, but, you know.
Yeah, he's getting roughed up.
He's getting roughed up. And he sees Lucho, like, dancing around, guys. It's a literal, like, dad, hey, dad, like, look, that's what I can do. And the kid also happens to be Argentine, so that doesn't hurt,
right?
Yeah. So he's losing, and he's like, my guy, too. So I think I think you're right. There's something about him that both the person who knows everything about soccer, the diehard, can be like, wow, I can appreciate a really fine wine, and this in front of me, I know to be a really fine wine. And then the innocent kid or the person who doesn't know anything about soccer can also, like, sit in the stadium for the first time, watch Lucho play, and be like, damn, that was fun. And that's, few players can do that.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, I'm not going to put you on the spot here, but something that I have been thinking about, my wife asked me the other day, she goes, hey, now that you've relaunched Pitch Pass, are you going to have Acosta on? And I'm like, he doesn't conduct interviews in English, but I have always wanted, and this is back to our Capital Soccer Day, Sebi, I always thought that it would be really, really interesting to have you do an interview with one of the Spanish-speaking players in Spanish and then post it, which would then, you know, give you an idea, because only in the last couple couple of months, have I heard Luciano Acosta's voice. I don't know what he's saying, but it's the first time I'm hearing his voice. So I would imagine not only would it be fun for an English speaker to kind of hear him speaking and going back and forth, but it also, for me, and you know this is an important issue for you as well, opening up that whole Latino side of podcasters and having those people come in and listening to the podcast is only a win for me and the show.
Yeah, I think it's at the crux of what kind of DC United's next challenge is, and that is engaging the Hispanic community in a meaningful way that allows them to have the same connection, i.e. fans and seats, that they had back in the day when it was the guys who were just talking about, running circles around the rest of MLS. And I think, a big part of that is media engagement. And so often for so long, and I think honestly, just to be blunt, it's one of the reasons that I've carved out the niche that I have at ESPN.
Agreed.
Is if you look around MLS, the best stories are not being told in English all the time. And so many of them now are being said in Spanish. I mean, the quality of players that are being brought into this league from all parts of South America now, the Caribbean, Central America, Mexico, there are big names, important players in this league that maybe don't speak English, don't speak it. At a level where they're comfortable speaking it on camera. Like, Lucho's like, I was talking to him today, he's like, around the guys, like, I can, as they say in Spanish, me puedo defender, I can, kind of defend myself, I can do all right. But it's different speaking in a second language on camera.
Absolutely.
That's really daunting, and that's really intimidating. The few guys that do it should be applauded for it. But it's not something that I think we can set as a basic expectation of guys. Like, it's really a challenge to learn a language late in life and get comfortable enough to the place where you want to speak publicly in it.
That's not something that
everybody can do.
Who did you get a chance to talk to today as far as the Spanish-speaking speakers are concerned? And, you gave us some great insight. Lucho, off the pitch is a very humble, shy, youngish kind of guy. Have you talked to Yamil? Have you talked to Junior? Have you talked to Joseph Mora? What kind of personalities are they exhibiting to you?
So I'm trying to think of who else I've spent kind of really quality time with. One of the other ones is Ulises Segura.
Yes.
He right before the World Cup, ESPN was like, all right, let's get some guys who we think are going to go to the World Cup. We'll do some features with them, go home with them, hang out with them for the day, kind of live their life. Because we thought Ulises was going to be on the Costa Rica team. Turns out he didn't make the team. He got hurt what a bad 24 hours yet. He got let off the cut from the team. And then 6 hours later, tore his MCL or something, was out for 6 to 8 weeks. But just before that, I got to hang out with him. And, it's amazing. These guys, here's a guy who is effectively, university educated in Costa Rica, was playing for one of the biggest clubs in Costa Rica while going to college. Just because in his family and in Costa Rica in general, education is so important. It's a rare thing in Latin America where you see footballers continuing their education that late. So he comes over here with his wife, his daughter, and, a degree, and he's now kind of trying to take his game to the next level. And you see all sorts of, tales of ambition in these guys. This is this kid who at 21, 22 was playing for Costa Rica's biggest club, was kind of settling into a role there, early projections to the national team. But he knew that to really push himself, because again, if a guy like him is also part-time studying, imagine what the guys on the seventh place team in the league are doing. They're basically part-time pros.
Yeah.
He's like, if I want to get better, I gotta go. So all these guys come here with a mix of life ambition, but also the soccer ambition of it. And I mean, they're just really interesting stories and adventures that these guys are living. Let's not forget they're kids, man. Lucho came here as 21. It is remarkable the stress, the pressure that these guys are under and you think about it, before Wayne got here, Lucho was the face of the team, man. He was under a lot of pressure. And he talked about that today, that it's not nothing when a guy like that shows up. Everybody else breathes a little bit easier because he's the guy that's going to get the attention now.
Great point. Let's get in a couple of nuts and bolts things before we wrap it up. This was the story that was coming out in the last couple of days over in England. Do you foresee him doing the Beckham, Robbie Keane route and going and playing a couple of months in England after the season ends?
I just, from a physical standpoint, I think
the last few months, if you look at DC United's schedule, have been really, really taxing. And he's played every minute. Like, he's not really taking a lot of time off. And I think at some point, like, this is a guy who moved mid-season, kind of shortened his summer, shortened his vacation, came here, played. I don't know where the fit is over there, unless it's, you know, I know Manchester United is what's being thrown out.
Yeah.
Very, very recklessly by, and not by, I don't think people with serious sources, more people who are saying it as an idea. And I think a lot of that has more to do with Manchester United being, whatever, eighth in the Premier League right now and being in a you know, precarious spot themselves. If Manchester United was rolling right along, I don't think they'd be talking about Rooney coming back. That said, it could be an interesting way to promote MLS and DC United in the league to have him over there and continuing to do something. But I just don't really see it as realistic. I think it's the way it started was from somebody, you know, some radio talker's idea, and that's not coming from anywhere. I can't imagine that he'd want to go over there and do that before his first full season in the league, where he's going to be on the books for, you know, one of the highest salaries in MLS history, that he's going to want to walk into that with basically no off season for 9 months, that into a 9-month MLS campaign. That seems like a bad idea for somebody, you know, on this end of his career.
I agree. And my next question will set up, really, I am so excited for 2019, and I don't want anything to kind of go wrong that would screw up 2019. However, having said that, if I'm a mid-table team in the Premier League, and you're telling me for the Boxing Day schedule for the December, January, I can bring in Wayne Rooney for 2 months and then let him go back at the end of January, get him a month off, and then get him ready for MLS season, I at least call United and ask them.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, what's Wayne Rooney going to go back to?
That's the thing.
He can go back to Fulham. I mean, no, he's going to go back to Manchester United, or he's going to go back to Everton. He's not going to go back to Everton because it didn't end well. As cool as it would be to see him at Manchester United, and it would be really cool. I just don't see it. And I don't see him going to, like, does Wayne Rooney need football that bad that he doesn't need 2 months off and he wants to go play in the English winter for Wolves? I mean, it just doesn't really seem like something that would benefit. It doesn't seem like something he needs to a point that it would benefit him or make sense, make it worth his while.
I'll give you a shot to hot take on this show. I asked Matt Doyle, you know, his thoughts on Luciano Acosta and his future, not just in MLS, but with DC United. My other concern for 2019 is I want 1 year of those two guys. I want 1 year.
Yeah.
And the more videos that go viral, the more the European and English press cast their eye on DC United and happening, Lucho pops. What do you think are the chances that he leaves in the offseason?
I think, you know, Lucho plays a very specific role. And while he's dynamite, amazing, I think the right coach has to see him. So while he jumps off the page for us, I don't know that, you know, every team out there is looking for that player. A lot of teams, you know, you take the top teams in the world out of the equation. A lot of the teams, mid-table and lower-table, don't play with, like, a true playmaker or a true number 10. They're much more, they're much more basic in the way they play. It's less about that high-end attacking personnel and more about the structure of the team. And Lucho is not a guy for structure. Lucho, you got to give him this free reign and let him kind of do his thing. So, well, I think he's very capable of playing in a league like Spain or Italy or maybe even the right spot in England, because I think if you can handle the physicality of MLS, the physical nature of the Premier League should not maybe overwhelm you. I think DC United really has to make a power play on Lucho.
Agreed.
I think he's an ambitious kid. I think he's on a place in Boca where when you're a young kid at Boca and you get given the number 10 and you're told you're the jewel of the academy at a place like Boca, You're not thinking about making a career in this. You're thinking about World Cup, Champions League, like where, you know, that's the expectations that he started his career with. So maybe they've been tempered for a little bit, but rubbing shoulders with Rooney, having the taste of all this limelight and all this success, is saying to him, hey, maybe maybe I can do this at an elite level. And his ambition is something that I don't know. I don't know him well enough to know what he's going to want career-wise. If he's one of these guys that's just going to say, you know what, I got to see how far I can take this thing no matter what, and I'll go to Levante in Spain, even if it's a crap situation, because I got to see if I can ball in Europe. But I think if DC United is where they're at, that they can afford $15 million to get Wayne Rooney, then they should make sure that whatever team pulls Lucho out of here is a good team and has paid the price. Because that is, for all intents and purposes, that's a homegrown star you've got.
Yep.
That's a kid you brought in at a really young age who's worn your jersey for your people and has become a star while playing for your club. And he's Hispanic, and he's amazing, and he checks off a lot of boxes that you would want in a young superstar for an MLS team. If you're going to let him go, it better be to the right place, and it better be for the right price. And it can't be, just to make sure that the bottom line is a little bit better or whatever. It has to be something where the club says, we are going to massively benefit from selling this player.
Agreed.
And I'm going to wait for that offer, because I don't know that offer's out there. I'm not saying he's not worth it. I'm just saying I don't know that offer's out there.
Well,
you know, it's tough for MLS players to get picked up.
Yes.
It's a whole other conversation, but MLS operates in a way, with the calendar and everything else, that it's not as easy for us to just say, like, oh, Lucho's good enough to play in England, boom, he's there. There's a lot of steps to prevent these guys from moving. So I think unless somebody comes in with the sweetest of sweet, sweet deals, DC better be really, really slow to let this guy go.
Agreed. To me, the best case scenario is new deal this winter, get him into the seven figures, have a year of him and Rooney doing their thing, and at the end of 2019, let's see where we're at and see what kind of offers we're looking at.
Exactly, exactly. If he's balling the way he is at this rate, and Argentina's going through transition at their rate, he's not long from getting a call up to one of these times when they bring a B team or a C team or whatever. And he's familiar to a lot of people in that youth national team setup down there. And if he starts playing for the Argentine national team, then DC United's sticker price, now you're talking about the type of money that makes it worth it to let go of a guy.
That's a hot take, Sebi. I'm just telling you right now. Tour. You just said Lucho for national team. And I know you said B and C, but the headline's going to be Acosta in an Argentinian jersey.
The context is they're in transition, but from a personnel on the field and off the field standpoint. So guys are going to get looks, and guys performing abroad in Latin America get noticed. Wherever that abroad is, if you're scoring goals and if you're playing with Wayne Rooney, that's going to carry a weight in Argentina. If Wayne Rooney is saying good things about Lucho, and he will, trust me, he will, I guarantee you that people are going to say, you know what, this kid, it's not a kid who came here just for nothing. Remember who he was down there. Remember the club he played for. Remember the number he wore. In Argentina, those are really significant things. He's already somebody down there. And the fact that he's doing this here, it's just reopening the door.
Let's wrap up with the conversation for DC United's week ahead. And you might have better insight on this as an ESPN guy. I don't know why these matches aren't on Saturday. And we go Saturday, Wednesday, and then Sunday again. You really – look, I know the response is going to be, hey, if you wanted the bye, you didn't want to play midweek, you should have had a better record. Still, 2 days, I don't know what kind of quality soccer you can expect from teams that are playing Sunday and then having to come back and play the next Wednesday.
Yeah, it is a really big ask. I don't know the programming details behind it. I don't know that it's specifically a television decision. What I understand is, like, for instance, this week or for the first round of playoff games, I don't know where I'm going. I ask you to tell us which game fits into the slate that we have. So I think the league, in a lot of ways, kind of runs the show on those decisions. You know, going to the final weeks is about getting everybody on the same time, right? Because they want the final games played at the same time. And I think for a variety of reasons, that's easier to do on a Sunday than a Saturday. Clearly, that's how they've lined it up here over last week, and then they'll do it again this week. But it's too much for this time of year. I was talking to somebody out at DC United today, and they're just like, you know, you go Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, at the most critical time of year, and then you'll play one game over 3 weeks. And both from a competition standpoint, that's terrible for players. And then from a media standpoint, it's terrible because There's an explosion of content for a week, and then I'm supposed to keep you engaged for the playoffs over 3 weeks where there's nothing at the most critical time of year. I think the week coming up for DC United is very tricky. They've got this game against Chicago that they should win, but now that they've clinched, they've got the option to rest guys. A couple years ago, they did that, and they rested guys in the final week of the season, and they got crushed. And then in the first round of the playoffs, the knockout round midweek, some of that was probably still lingering, and they got crushed again, and they were out of the playoffs after being one of the hottest teams to end the 2016 season. So I think that's something that looms in the back of certain people's minds over there at RFK. Do we kind of take this week off and risk losing some of the momentum that we built? The other reality is, if you win, you got a good shot at probably not the 3 seed, but probably the 4 seed, which means home playoff game. And I don't think you could overstate in the knockout round the value of the home playoff game, not just for the knockout round itself, but for DC United. I mean, DC United's record is black and white. It is yin and yang. It is possibly good at home and terribly bad on the road. This team does not want to have to go on the road for a knockout match. You'd love, bang, bang, a couple of home games to start the playoff, and then you rest a week and you got one road trip to see if you can stay alive. That is a really, really positive setup for DC United. So I think they kind of have to go for it all this weekend. You got to try and get those 3 points, finish third or fourth seed, and that's how you go into the playoffs. Because if you're on the road in the knockout round, I think it's highly unlikely that you'll survive those 3 games back to back to back and be in a position in that second leg of the semifinal to really have a shot.
Yeah, and that's what I was taking a little solace in going, oh, you know what? The three possible teams that they could be playing, NYC, Philly, and Columbus, none of those teams outright scare me. But Philly did come to Audi Field and take points at all 3 points away. And I was making myself feel better by going, yeah, but United only had 2 days rest. We're going to be in the same exact situation, or that's a potential situation to have again. Yes, now Philly is also on 2 days rest, but that's lingering in the back of my head as I start thinking about lineups for Chicago on Sunday. So you're saying strongest team. My knee-jerk reaction was Rooney doesn't get on the plane for Chicago. You rest Hamid because he's nursing that little knock on his knee. And you have Lucho go 60 minutes tops. And you also rest Nick DeLeon. Everybody else as is. But those would be the changes that I would make. Get Darren Maddox a run. Get him 90 minutes back up to speed with the rest of the team. You have Lucho for an hour. And then whatever happens after that is what happens.
Yeah, I think there's also a difference with this team that it's much deeper. So you have the Maddoxes of the world who you need to get run.
Yeah, the Stiebers.
You have those old, right. So you've got guys who maybe aren't getting 90 minutes or who are getting their 20 or 30 minutes a game who you can now get 60 to and maybe rotate some guys. So I think you don't drop that level if you play some of these other guys. Maybe you can get away with beating Chicago without a Wayne Rooney. But I would hate... Look, this is the reality, Roach. I don't know that this is going to be repeated next season, but I will tell you this. I think this team can win MLS Cup.
Wow.
I don't really see why they can't. You know what I think about Bill as a goalie. I don't know what the hell is happening between Wayne and Lucho, but it is rare you would see anything like that in MLS. They're hot right now, and I think you got to play for right now. And any risk of dropping points at Chicago puts you at risk of not finishing in with a home knockout round game. And I just think if you don't get that home knockout game, it's basically curtains, man. It's too much to ask a team to play the 3 games in that and still have anything left, or have anything left on that Sunday game on the back end to be stuck around. So I would be really, really cautious about wanting them to rest guys. It makes sense. It's a long season, but you got it. Whatever this momentum is special, and risking it even for rest, I think is something I think twice about. Who knows? That's why they pay Ben to make those decisions.
Well, and you bring up a great point. Everybody's talking about Rooney, and that's fine. But you just brought up Hamid coming back. Knauss getting healthy, Lucho rounding and feeling himself and maturing. It's not just been a one-man show. And you forget that basically United's game plan for the last 4 years was let Bill Hamid stand on his head and let's see if we can knock one in. If you can get that on the road and you can lean on Hamid and then come back home and handle your business, you're right. The pathway to at least the cup final is clear.
Right. Right. I mean, there's all the recipes are there. Like, you look at what MLS teams that have had success in the past had, they've always had a really strong holding midfield. All right, DC United has that. You got a goalie who can totally steal you points on the road and has had big playoff moments in the past, has a big personality. I'm not worried about Bill Hamid in the playoffs. You have an attack that's lit up right now, and you have a back line that, honestly, on paper, doesn't maybe fill you with confidence, but right now, with the protection they're being given from that midfield, is playing pretty well. And giving Bill just enough work, but not too much. And this is a very different team in terms of attack and what they can accomplish than the teams from 3-4 years ago that could create a little bit and hope that Bill would be enough on the back end. I think, you know, this idea that this team was so bad and then really showed up, it's a little bit misleading because it is that bad. They were just a team that had played all their road games first. And if you ask that of any MLS team, they'd also probably be in last place. So you get home, you get healthy, you get guys kicking, and then you drop in this, you know, atom bomb, and it's created something really special. I don't know what the lifespan of it is, but I really, really think this team is uniquely poised to do more than just get in the dance. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot more potential there than, oh, we made the playoffs. Okay, like, what a great story that was.
It should be more than that. And you're right. You're right. We'll wrap on we had Sebi's hot take about Wayne Rooney. We had Matt Doyle's hot take about Luciano Acosta. Let's talk about Roach's hot take about number four, where he...
Russell Canas, the first on the bandwagon.
can you please just establish... I was the first member of that bandwagon, correct?
Oh yeah, I think I don't even know if he'd been subbed out yet in the first game, and you were already asking the people at the team store if they could print it. They didn't even know how to spell his name. They had to look in the program.
That's one of my favorite, not only Sebi memories, but RFK memories, is when I literally just bumped into you in the concourse, and you were like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm picking up my Russell Canas jersey. And your response was just, wow. Just a wow.
Wow, you really went there. You really went for it, huh?
Now, future national team captain.
You're serious. He's great. You saw it first. You heard it here first.
Exactly. So stay tuned for more of my hot takes. Sebi, I hope that we talk sometime in the middle of November during that 3-week break and not next week on what went wrong.
Perfect. I'm into it. A little Thanksgiving preview of the conference finals to come.
Sounds good, man. Thank you as always.
All right. Take it easy.
For show information, go to pitchpass.com.